to The Social Focus. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting to you live from UBC. I'm your host, Seher, and it's the 11th of December. Each week, I will invite UBC students, alumni, and other members of the community who have come up with creative ways to overcome social challenges to share their stories. Today on the show, I will play my interview with Sean Condon from Megaphone Magazine, a magazine published monthly and sold on the streets of Vancouver and Victoria by homeless and low-income vendors. Vendors buy the magazine for 75 cents and sell it for $2. Their goal is to provide a voice and opportunity for those who are marginalized and build grassroots support to end poverty. Stay tuned to listen to my interview with Sean Condon. First of all, I want to say I really admire your work. And I've actually visited one of your vendors previously. I feel like it gave me a more kind of realistic outlook on what it's like being homeless in Vancouver. So first of all, could you tell me a little bit about yourself and what led to the creation of Megaphone Magazine?
Sure. Yeah. Thanks for those kind words. And it's always so great to hear people connecting with vendors and getting to talk to them. And I think that's really the most powerful tool we have for social change is just really listening and talking to people who are experiencing homelessness, so we can gain a better understanding and really humanizing people who are homeless. My name is Sean Condon. I'm the executive director of Megaphone. I've been involved with this project for the past about 8 years. It's a long story. What Megaphone is commonly referred to as a street paper. There are similar projects like this all around the world, in Seattle, Portland, Montreal, London, England. And the street paper first started in Vancouver in 1992, and it was known as Spare Change. And then it changed hands a few times, and it two papers, one called The Street and one called I'd gotten to know selling the paper, and you know, I'd say that they really a bit, and it was pretty the fact that they were still a testament to how the vendors were working to keep them alive. So it happened when one of the papers really fell, and I decided to join on and help support. From there, with some other volunteers and another group of people, we began working to build up the papers again. Once we're in the 90s, and that was a matter of merging the two papers together. And then in 2008, we decided to rebrand the magazine to Megaphone. Actually, some other papers, street papers in Europe, there's a Megaphone in Norway and a Megaphone in Austria. So we called them up and said, hey guys, do you mind if we become the Megaphone Canada? And
was a combination of the two offshoot magazines that came from Spare Change?
That's right. Yeah, okay. That's right. So since then, we've been able to build it back up now. To about, you know, in between anywhere between 40 to 50 vendors in our peak seasons, and we're in Vancouver and Victoria now as well.
Your goal is to provide a voice and economic opportunity for the homeless and low-income people while building grassroots support to end poverty. So let's talk a little bit about the people you're helping. Who has come to you with a tragic story, and were you able to turn their life around? Could you share a powerful story of a vendor?
Yeah, sure. You know, I think that every vendor that comes in is different. You know, stories around poverty and homelessness can really vary, and they can look very different from one person to the next. One issue about poverty is it's hard. It's really, really hard to be poor. It's really, really hard and depressing to be homeless. One vendor, a story I often tell is that he was struggling a lot with some mental health issues, and had a bad relapse, tried to commit suicide, and ended up in a coma and was in the hospital for a few months. I wasn't sure if he was going to make it. And, you know, luckily for us, and he did. He pulled through. And after, you know, an absence from selling the paper, he went back out to his spot. And customers were concerned when he wasn't at his spot, and when they found out what happened, you know, they were really touched and obviously saddened that they had almost lost a friend. So they reached out to him, and they started to form these nights together where they would go to his place, or they would invite him to one of their places. and sit around and watch old westerns together, like these old TV shows,
Oh.
Gunsmoke and Bonanza, because they knew he really loved them. And these are things that happen now about once a month. I tell this story for a couple of reasons. One is just what a difference this has made in his life to know that he's cared for, to know that he has friends, and he has got these relationships that he these relationships that he's been able to form through selling the magazine. But also for the customers, I think a lot of people, we still have challenges of the way I think we view poverty in society, and we're very scared of it. We're told to sort of be wary of people who look poor, and not to trust them, and whether that's for our own safety or we're scared because that could be us or whatever it is, we're really quite intimidated by it often. I think what Megaphone does is it breaks down some of those walls and it allows people from different backgrounds to start building bridges and talking, and just because someone is poor doesn't mean that they're really any that different from
For
anyone
sure.
else. And that's where I think the real power of Megaphone comes in.
I remember talking to Peter Thompson, one of your vendors. He sells magazines at Robson and Howe, and he was talking to me about the inaccurate and largely negative portrayal of Vancouver's East Side and kind of the necessity to debunk these preconceived notions that people have about the homeless. So, Sean, could you talk about this dominant narrative, this conceptualization of homelessness that exists in Vancouver, and why is there a gap between the personal realities experienced by people living on the streets and the public perception of homelessness?
Yeah, there's obviously a lot of inaccurate and negative stereotypes around homelessness and addiction. And in Vancouver, it's a big issue, but it's true everywhere. But in Vancouver, because of the downtown east, people how often pass through it. In one sense, we're closely connected to it as a city, so we see it and it's front and present. There's a lot of ignorance, I think, around poverty. See people who are struggling, and I think we live in a society where we really preach self-reliance, and we try to just constantly preach this message, well, if you work hard enough, you'd be better. And the reason why you're not doing well is because there's something wrong with you, or you're lazy, or you don't want to work. And
Yeah, it's this idea that it's an individual crisis as opposed to a failure of society to provide adequate resources and support for the homeless.
exactly, and there's this wall still. People make all sorts of judgments without getting to know these individuals, and because you'd be listening to these stories, and the stories that we often print in Megaphone as well, homelessness, poverty, these can happen to anyone. And think of Peter Thompson, as you mentioned, his story that he's told a lot is that he had a terrible accident. He was working in construction, and something really heavy fell and just like shattered his leg,
Oh,
and it
wow.
just yeah and he lost the ability to work. And when you lose the ability to work and earn an income, that can be really devastating. And he sort of spiraled out a little bit. He luckily has a lot of support with a great family to get back on track through selling Megaphone and
When I
Open
spoke to
Shadows.
him, he was telling me how he has a shelter or a home to live in now compared to before when he was on the streets.
Yeah, things have really improved for him. And but he's one of the sweetest people I've ever met in my life. These can happen. A divorce, the loss of a loved one, a tragedy, a personal tragedy, an accident, an undiagnosed mental health issue, can really just be the impetus for a major crisis that can lead to poverty and homelessness. So I've never met anyone that doesn't want to work. It doesn't want people want often the same things. So it's a lot of unfortunate misconceptions that we have
For
about
sure.
poverty, and I think it just takes time to try to educate people and kind of reach out and find ways to tell these stories.
And tackle the root cause of the problem. So when I first came to Canada, the first thing that I was told by multiple people was that to not interact with the homeless. I think that kind of shows that many people are suspicious and afraid of the homeless. And there's this big prejudice assumption that if you give money to the homeless, they're going to most definitely spend it on drugs and alcohol. So my question is, what's your take on this, Sean? And how has Megaphone Magazine helped to tackle this issue?
First, it's sort of trying to diffuse some of this fear, you know, and this sense of otherness that we have around someone who might be homeless, experiencing homeless. Because for a lot of people, homelessness is a brief experience. We know that the majority of people are homeless for only often a few months, and that the system can...
So it's a short-term experience for the majority of people?
For the majority of people who are homeless. For some, it's longer. For some, because, you know, might be having some severe mental health issues, or they might be in the throes of addiction. We just need to break down some of the fears that people have and understand, again, someone who's just homeless is not any different than anyone else. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the more we alienate someone who's homeless, the more that we stigmatize, the more difficult it becomes for them to get off the streets and get into housing, just because we're pushing them further and further to the margins, which can exacerbate a lot of the other issues that they're dealing with. I think that we also need to look at this sense of, you know, why people are homeless too. You know, this sense of a lot of people who are on the streets too have just, you know, struggled their whole lives since childhood for things that are not their fault. They, BC is at the highest rate of child poverty in the country. It's also the highest rate of adult poverty, but yet it's the only province that has not either enacted or committed to enacting a poverty reduction plan. We've seen that homelessness in Canada, you know, was once something, you know, very much confined to large urban centers, has now spread out across every city and every town across the country. We know that when governments are not taking responsibility to help people who are low income and to, you know, prevent homelessness, it just exacerbates the problem. And it's very expensive. You know, I think we need to understand too that homelessness is really, really expensive on government.
It costs around $7 billion all over Canada.
Right. A recent report just showed just how expensive that is.
And I think, you know, what I really like about Megaphone Magazine is that, so you hear about the public issue from politicians, from newspapers, and from the government, but it's Megaphone Magazine kind of provides this grassroots voice to people. So you actually get to, even when you're buying the magazine, you get to connect with the vendor and hear their story. So it's this one-on-one interaction, which would kind of help to defeat that public prejudice that exists against the homeless.
Yeah, I think that is really important. And just by saying hello, getting to know their name, you know, is just such a big boost to that person, and really gives the encouragement and the joy of getting to know the customers as well. Our vendors absolutely love their customers so much. And when they buy the paper off them, it means so much to them. There are really easy, simple ways that we can all do something directly to help support someone who is homeless and help them.
Simply just by talking to them, even. I want to actually talk about a report that you released earlier. So you released a report saying that the median age of death for homeless person in BC is between 40 and 49 years, compared to an average life expectancy of nearly 83 for the general population. The report also said that 47% of the deaths of homeless people in the province are accidental, compared to a general population rate of 18%. So what's behind these numbers, and what's contributing to this?
Right. Yeah. So we have been looking at Megaphone, the issues around homelessness for some time. We, you know, obviously have seen some of our vendors who died over the years, or our vendors have friends and relatives who might have passed away as well. And so this is an issue that affects Megaphone quite deeply. So we wanted to kind of take a look at these numbers and see what we could find to show what was really going on. You know, I think the fact that these numbers really showed is that homelessness is really dangerous, and this might seem quite obvious to a lot of people, but just how dangerous it is. You know, someone who's homeless is, you know, 2 to 3 times as likely to die by accidental means, or by suicide, or by homicide. And I think that while we might have a sense of that, I think having concrete numbers just shows how stark the issue is. And I think those numbers also show how preventable these deaths are. Someone who is on the streets, you know, it's not necessary. And a province as rich as British Columbia, we have an estimated up to 15,000 homeless people in the province. And this is just outrageous and should be embarrassing provincial governments. So that means there's a lot of people who are at a higher risk.
And people are dying at half the age of the average life expectancy, which is 83 for the general population.
Yeah, to see that, you know, from the numbers that we were able to get from the coroner's service, it showed, right, that, you know, the median age was between 40 and 49 years old. That's an early death sentence. You know, there's no reason for these lives to have been lost at such an early age.
It definitely points to the urgency of the issue. Because I want to talk about specifics. How has Megaphone helped vendors with their kind of their health, their finances? How has it helped them? How has it helped alleviate poverty for the homeless? And when I say homeless, I mean a wide scope of different types of people experiencing poverty.
Sure. you know, for some of our vendors, they receive no social assistance. This is their sole source of income. So this is really important. This is their livelihood. They're out working every day. You know, these are really micro entrepreneurs and are really like no different than any other small business owner. So this is a job and this is an income for them, and it's really important to their standard of living and their livelihood. For other vendors, you know, it's a part-time job. It could be out just a few hours a day or a couple times a week. And this is really just about increasing their standard of living, giving them some extra income so that they can have some, you know, just some security, or just have healthier food, just have some basic pleasures in life that we, I think, often take for granted. And, you know, that, again, is a big, it's really important to their standard of living, but also their mental health as well. Poverty is really hard on someone's self-esteem, and it can really exacerbate the issues around depression. So we've done some surveys with our vendors, and we can see that when you're feeling good about yourself, when you have strong self-esteem, and you know, having an employment and earning income is so important, that makes you feel better, and that starts to allow you to address other issues. So when you start to feel good, you start to feel encouraged, you're feeling positive about yourself. We've seen vendors who've been able to take this project and say, and use that as a launching pad to address issues around homelessness, addiction. You know, vendors who had been struggling quite severely with addiction, who through the paper have been able to overcome their addiction issues. You know, for some vendors, it's just a matter of creating some stability and just making sure that their lives are stable and that they're healthier and that they're safer.
Yeah, speaking of stability, it's an alternative to begging. And I like how it kind of combines the sales aspect with the creative aspect, because a lot of the content is written by the vendors. Is that correct?
It's mixed. We have always a few articles either about or from our vendors, but we have, I think the majority of our articles are from journalists who are writing either around, you know, social justice news, general news, or arts and culture in the city as well.
Because I remember speaking to Peter, and he was telling me about an article he wrote about his life on the streets.
Yeah, no, I think it's really important to have our vendors writing stories. We recently just did a writing workshop with for our vendors with an award-winning author named Michael Christie. I think we really want to make sure our vendors feel like this is their magazine, that they're really proud of selling it, and when they have a story in there, they're even more proud of it. You know, they can show customers like, look, I have something to say. This is my story.
Yeah.
This is my view. This is a unique perspective. You're not going to get anywhere else. And it's a really validating experience to be able
and
to tell
adds,
your story.
It adds more credibility to the magazine, because the people who are directly affected, who are people who have experienced homelessness, are the ones who are sharing their stories. It's not always someone who's writing on behalf of someone.
Right. I mean, we do a series of, on top of the vendor program, we run a writing workshop program where we we do weekly free writing workshops for people in the downtown east side or in the inner city for low-income marginalized writers. We're not going to solve issues around homelessness, addiction, the ongoing mental health issue crisis, the numbers that we're seeing in the city, if we're not listening to the people who are experiencing themselves. These are very powerful personal stories. We need to be listening to these people so we can find out what they are saying about it and how it affects them, and then what they think the solutions are as well.
It's wonderful how you're shedding a light on personal stories and giving a voice to the people who are affected by the issue. So before we wrap things up, I want to talk about Megaphone as a social enterprise. So do you identify as a social enterprise?
We very much, I think, embody what a social enterprise is, and that's, having a product that directly benefits, people who are low income, homeless, marginalized. We put a lot of effort into the production of this product, and we want this to be a product that people really, really want. And so this works because it's a high quality product, and that it directly benefits and provides an income to low income, marginalized people.
And you mentioned earlier how it was inspired by something that was happening abroad, like an international movement. So I want to ask you, what was it like establishing a social enterprise in Vancouver?
So we did have the benefit of the fact that there is such a great international network of similar products. So all those street papers I mentioned that are all over around the world, it's a great family. Papers are sharing business plans and strategic plans with each other, and so there's a really beautiful amount of support that comes out from these papers.
So you're connected with all the other papers.
Yeah, I think starting a social enterprise is tough. It's tough. I think it's been getting easier. I've seen, that my 8 years, the awareness around social enterprises and how social enterprise movement has matured has been really, really encouraging. And I think a lot of people around the city want to get engaged with social enterprises because they understand how effective they can be. We've been really lucky too. We've had organizations like Van City has been such a tremendous supporter of Megaphone. We're so lucky in this city to have such an incredible credit union like Van City, and they really are at the really ahead of the curve in terms of how they're investing their members' money and profits back into the community and furthering those profits in ways that traditionally, the main corporate banks are not. So they've been giving, both through grants but also through training as well and support. We're lucky to have a bank like Van City. Otherwise, I think, we have Vancouver's always been a really interesting city that has had a bent. It's just kind of on the fringe, I think. There's room for different kinds of thinking. So we see projects like social enterprises or Megaphone as an example. People are looking for difference when something is behind it. So I think we're fortunate to be in. The City of Vancouver too, government has taken steps towards supporting social. There's not still room and things that can change. Definitely some strong resources out there for people starting social enterprises.
Would you give to tackle a social problem and wants to create a social enterprise from scratch?
Well, when I started, I have to be honest, like I had no idea what I was doing.
Thank
So
you for the honesty.
yeah, I'm not going to pretend. I mean, I had a journalism background. I could definitely knew about producing a magazine, but running a business was a whole other planet for me. So, I in some ways it was good to throw myself into the project and learn as I went. But if I could do it again, I would have taken some time to really think about the finances and the business plan. I think we see I've seen a lot of similar projects. Some of them kind of fizzle out because there's so much passion that goes into these projects. And if you're not thinking about the business model, though, it's a struggle, and you can burn out. It's really important to make sure you're being very strategic about how you're going to grow. Where the revenue is going to come from, how you're going to balance your expenses, and just try to start to think about how you can get help for to create business plans and create a sustainable business model. So that's the sort of thing I think for a lot of people who start social enterprises, there's certainly a passion there. They're really connected to these issues, and they understand them, and they want to help and support people because they know what that means to those people who are the recipients of the social enterprise. So like for Megaphone, it's our vendors. We know how important it is for them to have this magazine to sell. But it's also important for the organization to create sustainability. And the best way to do that is to start to learn how to do budgets, learn how to do business plans, and make sure that you're really thinking about the sustainability over the long term as well.
Thank you for sharing that, Sean. I feel like a lot of people might have that social consciousness, but they don't have the skills to create a business. So it's important to say that you should reach out to resources and support to figure out what that strategy should look like to make a successful project in the long term.
Yeah, if that's not your strong suit, then that's fine. You know, being someone who's passionate about a program and having a great idea is a good start. But you know, there's so many people that want to volunteer their skills. You know, I think thinking about how to tap into people who do have that skill set, you know, and getting and engaging with them so they can support you. So, you know, reach out to people who have different skills and try to make sure that your organization and your vision has a good balance of people with different kinds of skills. Mm-hmm. And it just takes time to learn from them yourself, but also make sure that you're engaging with a wide variety of people with different skill sets.
Mm-hmm. But having that clear-cut mission kind of powerfully felt by urgency and compassion is a starting point.
Yeah, and that's the crucial, right? Like you're not going to, if you don't have that to start with,
you got to have that fire in your stomach.
Yeah, and you need that because it's tough at first. And certainly, I think being patient is the other thing I'd recommend. Mm-hmm. You know, if I you know, the amount of times when I started, I was like, okay, I got it. I got a magazine. What's going on? Why is this not selling a million copies on the first production, right? Like you have to be patient and just plan and know that it will take some time and know what you have to do to get to where you want to go. But just it takes time. These are usually start as small projects. You're not flush with $1 million in startup capital, so you're starting with often a lot of volunteer labor, a lot of other people just share your passion and just take the time to really figure out a plan to how do you are going to articulate this passion in a way to get other people on board.
Mm-hmm. What is next for Megaphone Magazine?
So I think about where Megaphone's going to go. We've had a really interesting year. We expanded to Victoria. There was a paper out there that folded and they asked us to come in. So, you know, I think it was absolutely a great fit for us and for the vendors that were out in Victoria. And I think we can see that, you know, as a magazine, there's potential to be in other cities and across the province. You know, the issues around poverty and homelessness are quite similar and quite connected in this province. So we're looking at how we can further support those vendors in that community in Victoria as well. The Homeless Desk Report was the first foray for Megaphone into advocacy. And I think it's been something I think we've been talking and thinking about a long time. How can we lend our voice that the experience and the knowledge that we've accrued over the last 8 years to really start to push on key issues and key points that, you know, maybe are being missed in this city. And Homeless Desk was one where we saw that there was a gap in how we were talking about this issue and a gap in how the accounting and the data was coming out. So I think Megaphone is going to be looking at other ways that we can really put some pressure on our governments so that we really continue to talk about homelessness and really begin to still stay shocked about this issue and still also but stay hopeful too that homelessness can be ended. It should absolutely be ended in this province, in this country, and it can be with the resources, with the attention, with a plan. So we're going to keep pushing for that, and we're going to keep providing support for our vendors so that we can see their sales grow and we can keep seeing the change that we know can happen with them.
Mm. Thank you so much for giving an interview today.
Yeah, thanks so much.
It was a pleasure
for talking to me.
That was Sean Condon from Megaphone Magazine. Thank you for listening to The Social Focus. Coming up next is Peanut Butter and Jams.